We're holding on Perek Ches in the Memorim Perek Ches Ois Yud. For those who have the Sefer, at least the old edition, it's a page Kufnun Tes. Okay, so he's going to continue on over here based on the Inyan of Teva. In regards to the Inyan of Teva, he's going to continue on to another aspect that kind of comes out of the discussion that we've had. So let's see. It says, Godol hu lema'oid ritzoni shel adam. The ratzon of a person is very great. Shenitin lo rishus lirtzos dvarim she'ein b'hem ta'elus. That a person has permission and was given the ability to want things that there's no benefit to those things. We have the ability to want things that bring no benefit. Vare hutalo la'adam listo v'la'akol ilanot kol she'eino etz ma'achal. For example, it is permissible for a person to uproot trees, to break down, right, to uproot trees if they're not fruit trees. Which, you know, is not, like, why, you know, what's the... Okay, I mean, I guess we're talking about where you're not trying to take them for wood, because that would be for a te'elis. I guess it's talking about just stam. There's no iser to uproot non-fruit trees. Afapi she'ein lecha esef ba'aretz she'ein le mazel berekia. Even though there's no grass, not even a blade of grass in the ground that doesn't have a mazel in shemayim, ha'maka esef ba'om aloy gadel, which beats on it and says, grow. Right, we know that every single thing down here in the physical world has a counterpart, so to say, mazel or malach up there that's saying to grow. I guess that would be actually an interesting question, if that's only by the by things that grow, like from tzemech and higher. What about afar? What about stones and the inanimate that don't have the ability to grow? Do they also have a mazel like that? I don't know. Maybe not. Just a parenthetical ha'ara. The ha'adam einai chash klal. And the person doesn't feel at all. V'imach oyla alavavoy laka. He's not concerned about it. Naturally, he doesn't. It's like no big deal. V'imach oyla alavavoy laka hu oseka adam shoseh b'toch shelo. And if a person decides to, that's what his heart desires, to uproot, so he's able to do so like he's doing something in his own domain. He's doing something of blishum matzar, v'gam blishum nekifat lev, without anything preventing him, and without even, without any conscience. There's no, he has no conscience about it. It doesn't bother him at all. He doesn't think twice about it. What's the big deal? Now, the fact that it has a malach, that has a mazel up there that's saying Gadel, means there's some kind of very, very significant existence to this, blade of grass. And destroying that life should not be a davar shel ma bekach. It shouldn't just be, big deal. Very often I see people, especially kids, but sometimes grown-ups, rip off leaves from a tree. And really, that's a terrible thing. All life, even the life of Tzemech, like we see, has a mazel and has some kind of ruchnias dika shayrish, and we shouldn't be destroying. But nevertheless, that's the ratzon that was put into a person, the will that a person has, includes the ability to destroy without any rhyme or reason. V'haya ze lo chacha, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. And this is a proof, ki kama shenitzrachim v'nidrashim kol elu advarim b'mtziut, that as much as these things are needed and are necessary in the Metzius, right? All the different things that are in the world, whether animals or trees and grass or whatever it is, as much as they are needed, that's why Hashem created them. And that's why they have a mazel telling them to grow. These are important parts of the Metzius. But nevertheless, milui ritzoinu ma'avyav shel ha'adam, the fulfilling his ratzon and the whims of a person, or the wills of a person, I should say, oile al kulana, that's more important than anything. More important than the Metzius of that blade of grass or that tree is the ability for man's ratzon to be, to be able to do its thing without being hindered, without being prevented. That's a more important part of the Metzius. The freedom of man's will is a more important part of the Metzius than the existence of these different things in the world. Which means, consequently, that the filling of the ratzon of man or a person brings more benefit to the world than that tree might bring.
And
so too, in everything that exists in the universe or in the cosmos, the very revelation of nature according to its measure is more important, or more ikari, more main, right, more essential, than saying that there's a specific will over every single detail.
Sharei im haya tzorech l'ratzon miyuchad lo haya zateva.
He's going back to Hashem's will on every prat. Right, till now we've discussed about the Rambam that the Rambam says that Hashem made teva at the beginning of creation, and he just lets that teva continue, but not that every single event in the world and every single thing that exists and happens in the world or is born into the world, not that every single thing getting a new ratzon. That's what we saw. That's what we've been discussing the last few weeks. So he says that the same thing. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wanted to record this year.
No, I'm recording on the MP3 player. Shkaya, thank you. So he says that, so we'll read it again. V'chein b'chol ma shenimtza b'toch havaya, etzem ha'gilui shel ha'teva k'fi midata, hu yoter ikari mima shenomar shiyesh ratzon miyuchal l'kol prat v'prat. Similar to what Rabbi Akamosha just said, legabei the ratzon of a person, that yes, there is an importance to each tree and to each blade of grass, but the importance of man's uninhibited will is more important, more essential to the Metzius, to the world, than those individual creations. So too, he says, the idea, the etzem gilu, the etzem revelation of teva, the way Hashem set it up, is more ikari than were we to say that there's a unique ratzon on each detail of the creation. Sharei im haya tzorech l'ratzon miyuchad lo haya zateva. Because what would be if there was a separate ratzon on every detail, then that would no longer be nature, right? Nature means there's something, so to say, that's happening automatically, that's happening without an intervention. But if we're going to say that there's a individual ratzon in every specific detail of the creation, and every single time that, you know, something happens, there's like a separate ratzon on that event, then that would completely contradict the whole concept of nature. Umikan das Rambam. And so from here flows forth the opinion of the Rambam, shelo liyachetz ratzon miyuchad l'chol devar nase, not to attribute a unique will to everything that's done. Lo mishum shezoi pchitut, not coming from the angle that this is like lowly. It's not beneath Hashem to care and intervene on specific details, right? Because, you know, it says in Sfarim, actually, the Chafetz Chaim I just saw writes in Shem Olam, it's no different. The Shemayim is also, for the Rabbeinu Shalom, extremely low. The Shemayim in retrospect to man, the Shemayim looks to us like a very lofty and high, big thing. But relative to the Rabbeinu Shalom, the entire physicality is low. So, if Hashem is clearly created the world, and that wasn't beneath his level, so to take care of the details of the world, that would also not be beneath his level. That's not the issue. Ela mipnei shebema shenogel ha-teva kach ratza sha-teva yimitneheg v'nimshach al-pi ratzon ha-klali. It has nothing to do with that it's low for Hashem to intervene. No, that's not why he didn't set up that he would have to be Reitze separately for every single thing. It's rather because, as far as nature is concerned, this is what he wanted. That nature should be led and drawn based on the general Ratzon of Hashem. Not a Ratzon Prati, but the Ratzon HaKlali. Hashem's general Ratzon in creation. And he says, parenthetically, he puts in parentheses over here, V'zer shelo k'divrei bal maise Hashem b'maise oves perikhof aleph. This is not like the words of the author of Maise Hashem in the Sefer called Maise Oves in the Perikhof aleph, shedon mizeh gam inyan ha'yediyah shel hamala, who judged from this also to the inyan of Hashem's yediyah. Ki loy lezeh niskaven ha'rambam, the Rambam didn't intend, it wasn't referring to this, and the truth is that I don't have that sefer, so I don't really know what he's trying to say. So I translate it, but I'm not sure. He's clearly coming to, dispute whatever it is written there, but I don't know what exactly he's doing. In any case, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, that this is the Ratzon of Hashem, that Teva should be led and drawn based on the Ratzon HaKlali. Ki zot hi anagat ha-teva. That is the way the Teva, that's the Hanhag of Teva, that's the Hanhag of nature. If it was otherwise, then it wouldn't be Hanhagas HaTeva. And then there would not have been the desired effect, the desired goal of Hashem's concealment through Teva, of what Hashem conceals through the Teva, it would be lacking. Right? If there's a separate Ratzon in every single Prat, obviously the Helim, the concealment, is not there. It's certainly not in full force. But the idea that the world is just working on its own, so to say, on autopilot, all based on a Ratzon Klali at the beginning of time, that is a very big Helim, it's a very big concealment. And Dafka, that concealment is necessary, like we saw last week, for to grow out of it the tremendous revelations that's going to take place in the future. And that's what he kind of gets into in the next paragraph. He says, Af gam ze, also because of this, mikivan shehelim shel ha-teva no'ad legalot gilui kol kach nisgav, since the helim of nature, the concealment of nature, was designated, was set up in order to reveal such an awesome, exalted revelation, b'chinas v'nisgav Hashem levado b'yom ahu, right, the Bechina of that Hashem will be exalted alone on that day. At the end of the days, we're going to see how every single thing falls into place, and what looked so, so full of multitude of causes and things and koiches, we're going to see how really the Rebbeinu Shlom was the sole being behind it all. Tzarich shiyitgale gam erech shel chofesh ratzon lemala. So there's also going to be a need. There's going to be a need that a level of independence of will, of Hashem's independence of will, of Hashem's free will, so to say, free choice, free will, whatever, is going to be tremendously different than our chofesh haratzon, than our freedom of will. Ukemo sheba bedvareinu she'af ha'echrech lirtzot en lemala, like we've spoken about, that even the compulsion to will doesn't exist above. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe in Chelek Gimel of Memorom, in the beginning of Lechem Abirim, I don't remember if it's the first or the second parak, I think it's already in the first parak, he makes a point, you know, we had on by Suda Shlishis of Shabbos, right? So you come up to the idea of Rava de Ravin. It's the time where the Rava de Ravin, what does Rava de Ravin mean? That becomes revealed, that aspect of Hashem. Rava de Ravin means Ratzon Aritzonot, the will to will. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, it's true, man was created with Ratzon, which means free will. But there's one thing different between our free will and Hashem's free will. Or one, I shouldn't say there's only one thing, but there's one major, major difference between the two. And that is that we are compelled to will. There's no person in the world that could not want something. In other words, at all moments in life, a person wants something. You can change what you want. Right? Asei ritzoncha ritzono. You can make Hashem's will. You can make your will Hashem's will. You can shift your will. You can work on your will. You can elevate your will. But the ability to stop willing, you can't. There's no such ability in man. Even the will to die is a will. And Hashem's will is completely free in the sense that he's not compelled to will. He wills to will. That's the Rava de Ravin, the ability to want or not to want. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says over here, there's going to be a need for that, you know, the tremendously different level of Hashem's Ratzon is going to eventually be also revealed. Val kein tzarich shebahelim shel ha-teva יהיו גם דברים שבאים בבחינת שלילת רצון מצד הפרט. Therefore, there's going to be it's necessary that in the concealment of nature, there will also be things that come in the aspect of the negation of will מצד the detail. Meaning, so to say, that there are things happening, so to say, against the will or without his will. It's a fascinating idea what he's saying. The fact that there's teva here, that there's things that ki'ilu are happening without Hashem's new will, without, right, is like an expression of the fact, or is a revelation of the idea that Hashem doesn't have to will on everything. If he wants, he'll will. If he doesn't want to will, he won't will. If he wants, he wants. If he doesn't want, he doesn't want. It's like an expression of that Rava de Ravin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leman yitkales ila'a, so that the above one will be praised. V'yetze kenoga tzidko tzedek olamim b'chol melei amuvan shel alma dechiru rozad alma deyovela. It gets very poetic here, that his tzedek olamim will go out like a light in the full sense of the world of freedom, the secret of the world of Yovel, where, right, what happens in Yovel? Everyone goes free. And that's the we know that the times of Mashiach is going to be called the Olam of Yovel. The Ramban hints to that when he brings the right Olam by Parshas Bahar, where it talks about the Yovel. So he indicates, right, that Yovel, the 50th Bechina, the 50th year, the 50th Bechina, that's going to be like after the end of Olam Hazeh, they're already going into Olam Haba, where it's going to be complete freedom. And that freedom of Hashem, which is going to be revealed, I think, if I'm understanding him correctly over here, the idea that he's able to will or not to will is actually kind of included and hinted to in the fact that he didn't will every single detail differently. He had a ratzon klali that teva should go on, V'zeu. He didn't necessarily, all this according to the Rambam's view, right? He didn't necessarily will on every single thing that takes place. What is that? What the, you know? What's going to happen? Now, I will say that, especially in Sifrei Chassidus, there's the. It seems not like what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying over here. They speak about that, especially. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I guess we would have to understand from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap himself. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying that every single blade of grass, he brings the Chazal. It's not Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, it's the Chazal. That every single blade of grass has a mazel in Shemayim that causes it to grow. So the question is, you have to say what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying is that mazel is yes, it's the spiritual counterpart of the physicality down here, but that is all part of the Ratzon Klali that Hashem set up the system of mazalos. I mean, we know, for example, the mazalos are all set in orbit, right? They're all, whatever, they're all set in space, and these mazalos, it's true they have spiritual counterparts, but, you know, in those days, especially the Rambam, it's clear in Hilchos Yisoedei HaTorah, understood the mazalos, that's what he writes in Hilchos Yisoedei HaTorah, that the mazalos themselves are Balei Seichel Rechava, I think his Lashon is, that they have, like, they're intellectual beings. Today, scientifically speaking, I guess we wouldn't necessarily agree with that statement, because now that we've been able to actually touch some of these planets, I guess nobody's been able to converse with the planets, but scientifically speaking, I guess it would be a hard thing to say that these are intellectual beings. In those days, they were so foreign, they were so, you know, removed from us, that I guess they looked at it as Bali Nef Seichel. But obviously, and this comes clear through different Svarim, is that there's, you know, even if we say the mazalos that we see, the stars, the constellations, are the physical, those two would have spiritual counterparts in the Ruchnius realm. And we would have to say that the same way the mazalos are set up into the system, the mazalos up there are also set on, but they all work like as if like in this almost automatic type of fashion. But again, in the Sifrei Chassidus, it's mashma in a number of places. There are lashonis as if, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach b'chol prat v'prat. It's mashma that there's a hashkacha pratus even on a blade of grass or a leaf that falls. That's the one of the lashonis used. A leaf that falls off. Every leaf that falls or every leaf that shakes on a tree has its own hashkacha pratus. Clearly the Rambam didn't agree with that. That's pashut. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is trying to explain the Rambam even Kabbalistically speaking. Is there a way to integrate these positions? Okay, there may be. I personally believe there may be, but it's complicated, and it's not, that's not the our aim right now. But in any case, this is a very, very interesting ha'ara that he's saying, is that the idea that there's only Hashem working here through Ratzon Klali at the time of Briyas Ha'olam actually reveals to us, and not having a special Ratzon in every single detail separately, on every... That actually reveals to us the fact that he doesn't have to want. If he doesn't want, he doesn't have to want. And that's the level of Rava de Raven, which is higher than the Ratzin. It's Mamish, the highest Bechina of Gilui.
That's the question?
Yes.
I'm just trying to understand. He started at the beginning of Eis Yud talking about how the Ratzin of a person is so great that it overrides all of the existence, you know, in terms of that he could just freely, easily take off a blade of grass. Why was that? What was the connection between that introductory, those introductory statements, to what his main point is over here about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, if we call it the Rava, the Raven of Hashem, his ability to choose not to wish? What's the connection between the two?
Yeah, I myself am not 100% sure. I think that all he's trying to say is that sometimes you have two things that conflict with each other, but ultimately one overweighs the other. So the same way that the existence of different things in this world is important, yet the Ratzon of man overcomes, overpowers, right, is more important than the existence of that thing. So it's like a mashal, the same thing is the Ribbono Shel Olam's Ratzon for there to be a teva outweighs the what would have been through the Ratzon miyuchad on every single thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a. I don't know. It's interesting that he introduced it like that. I agree with the aura though. Like it's a seems to be an interesting introduction to this idea. But that's what he seems to be saying, is that there's the Ratzon HaKlali over here, the same way Adam's Ratzon HaKlali is more important than the Prat, so too the Ratzon HaKlali of the Rabbanu Shel Olam is more important than the Ratzon Prati on each thing, and therefore that's the one he works through, the Ratzon HaKlali, and not through the Prat, not through the Ratzon of every single individual thing in the world, you know. That seems what it is. Okay, the truth is that I think it'll be better to stop over here, even though we're, okay, it's a half hour, 10 to 10:30, not bad. But the next thing that already gets, we're not going to finish the parak, so it's better to do it B'Yishuv Hadas and not feel rushed. So I guess we'll call it over here. Good vach to everyone. Shavua tov. Okay, good vach. Anybody have questions? If anybody had a question that I didn't, forgot to ask. No? Okay. Beseder. A good vach to everyone.